Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Is there actually freedom to say what we want? Is freedom of the press a myth? Is it reality? We wanted to try and find out a little bit more. Dr. Kate Skinner, Executive Director at the Association of Independent Publishers. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
So it's a fascinating concept, because although we obviously hold freedom of the press in very, very high regard, if it were not for the freedom of press in South Africa, I don't know where we would be. It was really largely because of the Constitutional Court and freedom of expression and the press that we have managed to further ourselves so much more. But in many areas, because of social pressures and demands, we seem to be losing it a little bit along the way. Your thoughts?
So, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think the fact that we've had a very strong media in South Africa, you know, post 1994, has been absolutely critical. You know, we've obviously had the Gupta leaks, we've had the Daily Maverick, Scorpio, etc., uncovering issues. So I think that's very important to hold on to. But of course, there is this issue of, you know, you can't have absolute freedom of expression, because there are certain things that, you know, do need to remain secret. So, for instance, you know, the issues around, particular state security issues. So I think that is where things become a bit controversial, because the issue there is that you've got to look at, well, where is the line then going to be drawn? Also, of course, there are issues around defamation. I mean, you can't just say whatever you want to. And, you know, people can actually take you to court and, there could be huge, big defamation cases. So I think what is really interesting is, where do you draw the line? It isn't absolute. But, you know, some people obviously want to draw the line, you know, as far as possible and allow as much speech as possible. And obviously others are like, no, you know, we need to protect, you know, the state and people.
Yeah, it really is a difficult line to draw. And as I was saying earlier, society seems to flow with their view on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is interesting because, in some ways, I think on social media, you know, people say absolutely whatever they want to, a lot of the time. And some of that can be really harsh, and some of it can actually be absolutely, incorrect. So sometimes people say, you know, that in fact social media is problematic because it allows too much freedom of expression. But then in other places, of course, you don't get enough, and in fact the information that you really do need, which could be some state security issues, you don't always get.
So, I know you're focusing a lot on state security and these types of things. Are those governed? Is there a mechanism to govern what can be printed and what can't be?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, there are a lot of laws in place around issues around state security, for instance. Certain information that you can release and others that you can't. And if you're going to actually undermine, you know, in fact, for instance, commercial issues, but also, for instance, say where, you know, if there are particular issues around, you know, military action, etc., I mean, that would be secret, and it's absolutely governed by various laws, and it depends on which country you're in. But, you know, and even around, issues of defamation, etc., I mean, you can take people to court around those issues. So it's not like it is a free-for-all. It's more that on social media, there seems to be a space where people feel, and maybe this is because you're not face to face with somebody, that you can be more harsh, more vicious, you know, and that I think sometimes is a real problem.
Yeah, it is very, very interesting, because we seem to have two aspects that curtail our freedom. One is the legal side of it, And you know, that includes things that you've just mentioned, plus the possibility of being sued for defamation. And the other part is this social contract, where we see people being almost cancelled for some things they might say or have said even many, many years ago. That has to have an impact on freedom of expression, surely.
So I think that's a very important point that you've just raised. Because people have actually said, you know, on social media, a lot of people, and in fact, you know, people that have got very important things to say, feel that they, you know, will be attacked, and then they start to self-censor, and that actually can be hugely problematic. And in fact, if you look around the world, and you look particularly at women journalists, a lot of women journalists have been under extreme attack, for actually uncovering really important stories around corruption, you know, around abuse, around lack of you know, governments not actually delivering services, etc. And so that is very, very problematic when you start to have people not raise those absolutely critical issues. And it is very interesting because there's often is this gendered aspect to it, because often it's women journalists or kind of, you know, women that are sort of social influencers that are attacked more viciously than men, and that certainly is a problem not only in South Africa but around the world.
But we've seen it particularly in South Africa. We've seen terrible attacks on women, even by politicians, where the female or the gendered issues, there's been significantly more bullying and threats to women journalists or women with an opinion, whether you're a journalist or not. But there is the sense that maybe there's more freedom of expression allowed for men than for women. Look, it always has been that way. Unfortunately, we have a history in literature of women needing to write books in the name of men, otherwise they wouldn't be accepted. About, you know, the Oxford English Dictionary being formed around words that were always published, but men were doing the publishing. Therefore, it was very, very much male-centered, not female-centered. Therefore, we have come a long way, but we are by no means anywhere near accepting an opinion for the opinion and not for the person giving that opinion.
So absolutely, and I do think that the interesting thing around the kind of social media platforms is that there is, you know, growing concern there. And so it's been interesting to speak to journalists such as kind of, you know, Cyril Hapagee high profile, very kind of strident and exceptionally good journalists, and they've said that they've actually been happy because Twitter, you know, for instance, has, you know, got takedown notices and has taken, you know, so, you know, and you can, there are some kind of measures that you can, you know, could contact the platforms and make sure that, you know, some of that information is removed. So there are definitely some moves in the right direction in terms of protecting people so that they can go out there and say what needs to be said. But, you know, things move slowly. But I think what's important is the campaigning around that, and highlighting the importance of ensuring that there is a self-censorship. So that there is a self-censorship on the one side, and on the other side, kind of vicious, unfounded attacks, you know, rape threats, etc., are immediately taken down by the platforms, and that they move very quickly on those kinds of things. So, yeah, lots of work to be done.
There is indeed. Things like the incident that we saw around Neil Young, Joe Rogan and Spotify also serves to highlight the dilemmas in these cases, doesn't it?
Completely. And I think that's also very interesting because, again, you know, there's this huge amount of disinformation going out, you know, and the anti-vax kind of, you know, whole movement. Climate change denialists, etc. And yes, I mean, it is interesting because, you know, what is the responsibility of the platform to take down information that is disinformation, that is, you know, information that is potentially conceptually dangerous because it undermines for instance, on the climate change front, you know, says we don't have to do anything about, you know, our carbon footprint, for instance, or with the kind of, you know, anti-vax movement that basically says, you know, that there's a whole lot of problems with vaccinations, which aren't correct. I mean, of course, you know, there are some issues that you need to be take care of,
sure.
But there are certain, you know, to say that it isn't effective, or to make up statistics around the fact that, you know, most people that have been vaccinated or are hospitalized, you know, that kind of thing is exceptionally dangerous. And you're right.
Terrible.
You have to look at how do you deal with that as the platform.
Very, very difficult. And I believe this is a conversation we will be having for many years to come, or at least I hope we are, because we do need to constantly grapple with this, because I don't believe we'll ever find that perfect balance. I'm not sure it exists, and I'm not even sure that we wanted to.